WildTalkRadio.com.
Welcome, everyone, to Monday Night Raw.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
So, what do you guys want to talk about?
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
It's just a matter of what the Rock is cooking.
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for ya.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
And you know what that means. It's time for the Raw Post Show, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Networks. WildTalkRadio.com, twitch.tv/WTRLiveChat. If you have that Amazon Prime, you link it to your Twitch account. And what do you get? A free sub. Just by clicking the purple button below the screen. You know, if you link it together. It used to be called Prime Gaming, and now it's not Prime Gaming, and it's presented by Amazon Luna or something. I don't know. Just use your Prime sub. That's all it is. You can use credit code ROCKSOCK or Linsam Warden to Fortnite App Shop because hashtag epic partner. We're on the road to Crown Jewel this Saturday live at 8 a.m. Eastern. 5 a.m. on the West Coast. There's a 2-hour pre-show. If there's an American who watches the 2-hour pre-show, God bless. But we're here to talk about Monday Night Raw. I am the producer. That's Lindsay Ward.
Brent, I'm gonna say this right now. With love, don't you dare. Don't you dare do it. Like you did last time. Where you stayed up all night to watch that show.
Hey, Brent can live tweet it if he wants.
He could live tweet it. He absolutely could do that. We don't want him to because it's not good for him, but he absolutely could.
I mean, it's fine. It's fine. Pull an all-nighter. It's fine. Sleep during the day. And in his case, who needs sleep?
Because he has to work during the day. That's what he does. He works during the day.
That's why he doesn't need to sleep. He gets to sleep all day. It's fine. Or work all day, work all night. It'll be fine. It's Sunday. Sunday he can sleep. It's fine. Anyway.
Not healthy for him is not good. But no, that is entirely too early. 8 a.m. for a pay-per-view, 6 a.m. for a pre-show on the East Coast. East Coast. Nah, man. Nah, that's not happening.
There's a 5 a.m. Countdown kickoff thing on Friday.
No.
International audience, enjoy. That's the best I got.
I salute anybody that gets up that early to watch all of that. Like, good for you. You are a far more dedicated fan than I am, because I will literally just watch it on replay. I don't care. Thank God for modern technology, because we can just watch it, just, you know, on replay, and it's fine and it's great, and it's like seeing it for the first time, because we technically are. So there you go.
The first in-ring action on this episode of Monday Night Raw featured Becky Lynch taking on Maxxine Dupri. I was better than I thought it was going to be. It was better than the first time they battled. Maxxine got a lot more offense, and Becky got cocky.
Yes, she did.
Becky got in her head. Becky got into it with the referee.
Yes, she did.
And then the referee said, "Fuck your shit," and counted Becky Lynch out because Becky was rude. And paid the price for it.
You know what? Honestly, that's a really creative ending. And I will give credit where credit is due. Maxxine has continued to improve. this was not a barn burner by any stretch of the imagination, but she looked decent out there. She looked good out there. And being in there with Becky only made it that much better. And I really did like how they did the finish. Because now, technically, Maxine has a W over Becky Lynch.
We'll get to this part later, the other half of it. But Becky was in the locker room with Seth. And she was just rambling like she normally is. I'm not going to Perth. This was her out. Not she's pissed off enough. She's not going to be on Raw next week. Because she's not flying to Perth. She was going to talk to Anna Pearce.
I don't blame her. It's like a 24-hour flight. Like, damn, that's a long flight.
I'm not doing it. I'm not going to Perth. I'm going to... fed up with it. So it's good create a way if she's not on Raw next week to write her out by just having her mouth off. The women's action continued on Monday Night Raw. Lyra Valkyria took on Roxanne Perez. Bayley wanted to be in Lyra's corner. Bayley was in Lyra's corner for this one. Did not matter. Roxanne took out Bayley. Lyra got into it with Raquel, then got back in the ring, ate a Pop Rocks. Roxanne got the win. Bayley then grabbed Lyra. He's like, we're going to go beat the hell out of these girls. Let's go. So they went backstage. And eventually they were beating up the Roxanne and Raquel. And Adam Pearce was livid.
Adam Pearce did, in fact, have a mad. He was not happy about this one at all. Just you know what? Adam Pearce didn't have a good night, especially with the female competitors. He did not have a good night.
He never seems to have a good night.
No. He has a very stressful job. I salute him for that because I don't think I could do that. But I liked how they did this. This was enjoyable. I'm still a little unsure of Bayley's character and what they're trying to do with it. It seems like maybe they're doing a split personality for her where she bounces back and forth between the two versions of herself, because I guess in a way she doesn't know who she really is.
That seems to be the idea.
Figure that out.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they're going for, but I don't know if I like it or not. Like, she's doing fine with it. I just don't know if it works in this particular setting, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes some sense.
Like, I don't know. There's something about it that it's like it's not sitting right with me, or it's not resonating with me. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's like the execution or the presentation or just the overall like character that they're doing it with. Because we've seen people do this in the past. And depending on the character, it works really well or it doesn't. Like, there's no kind of like, it was all right. And I think the character has a lot to do with it. And I don't know with Bayley's character where you're bouncing between ultra face hugger Bayley and the ultra aggressive heel Bayley, if that's gonna work.
But I like that they're trying something different.
I do appreciate that they are trying something different with her, and I'm reserving judgment on the final incarnation of whatever this is going to be, because clearly she's transforming into something and we're going to get the payoff on what the final character is at the end. But just right now it's like, I don't know about this one. I have to see where it goes.
Adam Pearce was talking to Asuka, and she got Kairi a match with Io Sky. Asuka told Kairi, you're facing Io. She didn't want the match, though. She wanted to bring her back to the family. Asuka then slapped Kairi and told her, the match will happen, and she better win. So it was Io Sky taking on Kairi Sane. Good match between the two. Asuka gets involved. Kairi gets the win. And then they did the double combo and Sane elbow, leaving Io laying.
Poor Kairi. She's caught in a bad situation altogether, you know?
Yeah.
She's got between her two friends, and one of them is essentially abusing her, and it's just not a good situation all the way around. And she's like a half willing, half unwilling participant at this point. I don't know if she's quite on the level of like a Stockholm Syndrome situation, but she's kind of in between, and it's weird. But it's a different way to split the group, where you have someone kind of caught in the middle like this. Because we've seen this before, where somebody gets caught in the middle and you have her really trying to play both sides of this, where it's, well, I want to still be friends with Io because I don't have any beef with Io. But I also don't want to piss off Asuka because Asuka's already always my friend, or is still my friend. And so she's trying to play both sides, and Asuka's not really having any of it, and neither is Io.
No.
So it's different. I'll give them that. It's different. I don't know how well it's working, but it's different. And they are pulling it off. Like, Kairi is doing a fantastic job of selling it.
She is. Backstage, Jack Evermore was interviewing AJ Styles to talk about John Cena before he could even say a word. Judgment Day's Dom, Finn, and JD showed up. Dom asked AJ why he thought he could beat John Cena when he couldn't even beat him. Finn said the little birdie told him that Styles and Dragon Lee won a tag title match. Styles said he'd get, you know, then Styles like, let me, you know, why wait for that? I'll find Lee and we'll find a partner. We'll make a six man for tonight. They found Penta to be their partner.
Like,
so it was Penta.
Like you do.
AJ and Dragon Lee taking on Judgment Day. AJ wanted to say something before the match. He got cut off by the Judgment Day. AJ would end up getting the win. Rusev would come out, chase Dom off. Because there was a point where earlier Rusev was in Adam Pearce's face when Punk was walking towards the cutaway shot. But AJ, Penta, and Dragon Lee get the win. Rusev ate a super kick from Penta at one point, allowing Dom to escape. Afterwards, AJ gets the mic, said, "We don't need a story because the story writes itself." And that's this Saturday, what he knows, the match. We're going to leave it all in the ring, and it will kick ass. They also did a really good video package hyping up the match.
Yeah, they did.
Talking about to the face of TNA and the face of WWE finally battling in 2016 when they first battled. It was really good.
It was really good, and they're highlighting it by the Invasion 2 stuff. And they're doing a wonderful job with it, and the match between Judgment Day and AJ and Penta and Dragon Lee was really enjoyable, really fun, liked it a lot. But the way that they're selling, like, both Styles and Cena and all the TNA versus WWE stuff is being really well executed. Enjoying that quite a bit. I'm actually looking forward to the event. I may try to watch.
Tomorrow night, NXT Showdown on the CW, 8 p.m. Eastern. Tune in. Hey, give it a watch. Monday Night Raw opened up with your tribal chief, Roman Reigns. He had to get acknowledged from Dallas. Bronson Reed came out. Paul Heyman did the acknowledge your tribal thief. Heyman said Reigns has never been out of structure during his wrestling or football, but Bronson Reed did it. That was not correct because Roman has been structured before. But who needs facts to get away with a good story? Bronson talked about Roman's father and uncle both had 45 years in the business and were never stretchered out. Bronson asked how they would feel looking down and seeing Reigns getting stretchered out. Reigns and Reed never knew his father or his uncle, but Heyman did. Reigns asked Paul Heyman what his father would say. Reigns said, "Fight him now, so let's do this now." Bronson was like, "Let's go." But Heyman's like, "No, do it on your term, on your schedule." Reigns is like, "I know this shtick before. I know what he's saying. They're not wise words, just words from a coward. He doesn't want you to fight. He wants to do it on your terms, yada, yada, yada." Reigns told Reed that he's level above. Reigns indicated he would give Bronson any match he wants. Paul Heyman's like, "If that's what you want." The match that WWE signed him. The match he's never lost in. I thought they were going to come up with this weird match. It was just an Australian street fight.
Yeah.
Rowan's like, "Too easy. I accept." And then they start to leave. He called them a couple bitches running away. They started the brawl. Lots of Superman punches. Roman had to be pulled away by the officials.
Can I just say, I really like the pairing of Bronson and Heyman.
It works.
I think they have something there. I know Heyman manages the vision, but like, just Heyman is so good with those big beefy men, as it were, the monster type characters. He's such the perfect complement to all of them.
Yeah.
And I think you have something. I think Heyman could do for Bronson what he did for Roman and what he did for Brock, in the sense that he can really help take Bronson to that next level. And that's not to say that Bronson doesn't have the talent on his own, but it just sort of helps to complement what Bronson has naturally to raise him up, as it were. And Heyman can really build Bronson, or help to build Bronson, into something much more than he already is. Because it worked for Roman, right? When Roman first started the bloodline, the main piece of that really helped to sell it was Heyman. Because Heyman did all the talking.
Yeah.
And that's what really sold, like, the bloodline and the dominance of it. And Heyman was, in a large part, responsible for carrying that storyline for so long because he did all the talking.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing for Brock. What sold Brock Lesnar to everybody? Paul Heyman. Because Paul Heyman would do all the talking. In the group, in the vision, you can have Paul Heyman do all the talking, But Seth works better doing his own. So Heyman is better for the Bronze because he can do all the talking for them. He can build them up as a tag team. He can build them up as singles. He could have his own little stable of monsters at his disposal to send out and bring back, you know, tribute and titles and glory and all the things that Heyman craves. Because that's ultimately what Heyman is after, is power and prestige and money and all the things. Because he is accustomed to the lifestyle of which he lives and he needs to keep that going. So that's where we're at with that. But I like the pairing between Bronson and Heyman. It's a good compliment because it's kind of like, this is where Roman is now. And it's almost like Roman's looking back sort of at where he was. And Bronson's where he is now and looking at where he wants to be.
Speaking of where Roman is now, he was backstage with Jimmy and Jay. Jimmy said, I was trying to tell Roman to get you back. But Jay's like, no, I got it. I got it. We're good. Ranting is good, but didn't want any help, especially from Jay. He told Jay, hyper-focus on your own stuff. Roman asked Jay, who was the talking at the top? Who's talking at the top of the hour? Jay's like, Punk? Not you, huh? Jay stormed off. Roman told Jimmy he sees and hears everything. So what's the problem with him taking advice from me? They had a stare down, and then they walked away.
What's the problem with Jay taking advice from Roman? Well,
it was, we're finding out. There's a lot. CM Punk comes to the ring, talks about celebrating with his wife, why he's been gone. He said he started the year off by beating Rollins on Netflix, and he would end the year beating Rollins on Netflix. Rollins said he's better than Rollins, and everyone knows it. Little MJF line. Punk said he would become the new world's heavyweight champion. L.A. Knight, made his way to the ring. Knight said Punk is known for the pipe bomb, but lately he's better known as a husband. That's not a shot, but of course everyone needs love, and it was a beautiful thing. It seems like you're a good husband, but you're a trash champion. You were what, a champion, what, 5 minutes? Knight asked Punk if he knew whose shoulders Rollins never pinned, and Punk was like, imagine a guy who's never been a world heavyweight champion. Knight said he may have not been the world heavyweight champion, but he'll be the next one. Up came Jey Uso. Jey told Knight that he was finally thinking clearly. He said he's the one. I never got my rematch for the world heavyweight title. And he's the one who's up next for the title shot. LA Knight said Jay had the title and he lost it because his time is come and gone. Knight said it's his time. Knight said Jay isn't Roman Reigns and won't be Roman Reigns. Knight said that's okay because you should focus on being a tag champ. After watching last week, you sucked as a tag team. Jimmy was slowly walking out. Knight said he had no issues with Jimmy. Jay then super kicked LA Knight. Jimmy got in the ring. Punk said he gets Jay's passion, but he would have to get behind him in a line for a shot at the title. Punk told Jay that he loves Jey Uso. He doesn't like little Roman. Jay almost goes for a super kick. Jimmy pulls him back. Punk got upset, pulled Jimmy out of the way, dropped Jay with a punch. He ate a super kick from Jimmy Uso. Very interesting.
Very interesting. It seems there's trouble in the proverbial paradise, as it were.
There is.
As the tentative alliance seems to be at an end.
Before we get to more of that alliance, we're backstage with Paul Heyman and Seth Rollins, as we mentioned earlier. Becky was complaining. Rollins told Heyman they need to talk. Rollins said he has to win. Heyman's like, you will. Rollins questioned what would happen if he lost. Heyman assured him he would win. But what if I didn't? Heyman told Rollins that he would lose the locker room. He was like, be straight with me. You'd lose the locker room. Bron Breakker, Bronson Reed. He said Rollins would become nothing more than a de facto wannabe secondary champion. Heyman's like, do yourself a favor and don't lose. Heyman goes to leave. Rollins grabs his arm. You mentioned all these people, but you left yourself out of the equation. And then asks him what would happen if he lost. Heyman's like, I'm your secret weapon. Rollins like, don't give me that stuff. Give me the straight answer. Heyman said if not Rollins loses to Cody, he would ask himself why he picked Seth freaking Rollins. And why he picked Rollins over Roman Reigns.
Little tension there. Little trouble in paradise, as it were.
Little bit. Really good segment.
It's Rollins. Fantastic segment. Incredible segment. Like, the way they sold this, the way that they did everything. Like, again, it's Paul Heyman and Seth Rollins. You really don't expect anything less. But the acting in this was really superb. It had really nice tension. You can see the weight on Seth. Mm-hmm. And you can see how the situation is troubling Seth, right? Which is really, really nice because he's always so cocky and confident and you always just kind of want to punch him in the face. Like, let's all be real. Let's heal Seth. We all want to do that. So seeing him stressed and seeing him worrying and seeing him unsure and have that vulnerability and realizing that there are stakes for him in this beyond the title, beyond losing, and the fact that he could lose the entire group. He could lose his dignity. He could lose pretty much everything that's at least the character values outside of his family. That's really well done. Great storytelling.
Backstage, Jay is being grilled Jimmy about whose side is on. Whose side are you on? While Roman was just standing there. After Jay stopped, continues to yell, Jimmy's like, I'm on your side. Always been on your side. Jimmy told Roman he sees what's happening. He said he's not like Roman. And Jay is nothing like Roman either. Roman's like, when Jay won the world title, he became more like him and less like Jimmy. If you want to really help your brother, sometimes you need to get out of his way. Leading to our main event, Usos versus LA Knight and CM Punk. CM Punk and LA Knight get the win. LA Knight stole the win over from CM Punk, pinning Jey Uso. And that's how Raw ended.
This was a good match. You can see the temporary alliances are over. You can see the temporary alliances that remain are very stressed. There's a lot of issues between Punk and Knight. There's issues between the Usos. People just have issues right now. A lot of troubling things right now going on in WWE. But they're doing a really beautiful job of telling the story from an emotional perspective, not just in the ring.
Yeah.
Like, we're seeing the tension and everything running on high and the stakes going into all of this, because we see Jay's desire to reach the top and how that title is kind of impacting him almost in the same way that it did Roman, and how Jimmy's seeing his brother go down this path and he's like, oh no, 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 we're not doing this again. No, 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 no. And Roman just kind of being like, I don't see a problem with this. I have no issue with this.
Indeed.
So it's all really good. Very enjoyable.
But that was Raw.
That was Raw, and we are headed to Perth. Yay!
We are indeed headed to Perth this Saturday. Special edition of The Rack this Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
At 10 p.m. Eastern.
That's right. Tune in. We will have news. We will have notes. We will be talking about Crown Jewel live from Perth, Australia, where we will preview the show and let you know who we think is going to win and who we think is going to lose. So it's The Rack Wednesday night, guys. Wednesday night, because somebody wants to watch baseball and football at 10 p.m. Eastern right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Maybe. It might just be football.
We're going to manifest that the Phillies are playing on Thursday, guys. We are manifesting that for Rock.
And you'll hear my live reactions. Live. Oh. Live oh. Wednesday during the show, because the Phillies play at 9. So we'll be talking Phillies as we do Crown Jewel on Wednesday. And the Jaguars just took the lead. But there's a flag on the play. So tune in for The Rack live Wednesday. But yeah, I'm watching football Thursday. So that's the deal. But Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. is another edition of CB Radio. And Sunday, it's WTR Sunday Russell Talk Radio to review Crown Jewel with Tim and Brent. Tune in for that. And we'll be back in 2 weeks for another edition of the Raw Post Show, because we're not getting up at 8 a.m. to do a post show. You're just going to have to deal. But we'll be back in 2 weeks for a new episode of the Raw Post Show. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. And the Jaguars are winning by 3 with 23 seconds to go. Chat, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called not Prime Gaming. It's called Twitch Prime. Maybe it's just the free Prime sub. Use it here by clicking the purple button below the screen. You can use creator code Rocket Sock or
Liz M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop, Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Liz Ward, LNSWRD. You can check me in on Twitch, twitch.tv/LizWard. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@SymbolLizWard. And you can follow me on TikTok, LizWard0.
Chat, we'll see you Wednesday night for a special edition of The Rack, and back here in 2 weeks for a new episode of the Raw Post Show. presented as always by MBGFilms, youtube.com/MBG1211. Chat, we'll see you then, live, right here, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.